Today's scripture comes from Isaiah, the 49th chapter. Isaiah, the 49th chapter. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 7 today. Listen to the word of Isaiah. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, he has spoken my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing at all. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and to gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength." He says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." This is what the Lord says, "The Redeemer and the Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers, kings will see you and stand up. Princes will see and bow down, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." The book of Isaiah, and especially the last part of it, from chapter 40 to the end of the book, is probably one of my favorite prophets. He's one that I love to read and that I love to spend time with, because he walked with the people as they were going through a very difficult time. He brought them the word of what God wanted them to hear. It was not an easy word at times. And sometimes it doesn't seem as very encouraging, as hopeful as we would expect. But towards the end of the book, from chapter 40 on, it's a whole lot more hopeful. It's a whole lot more encouraging. In discipleship classes, one of the things that we do is we look from chapter 40 through chapter 36 at what this tells us about God, what it tells us about man, and what it tells us about the promises of God. It's a big piece of scripture to look through for all of that, but it's a powerful piece of scripture, and this passage happens right there in the midst of this. It gives us an understanding that we do have a purpose in life. We do have a purpose for living life here. You see, before we were even born, God was already preparing us to be something for the kingdom of God. Before we were ever born, God has prepared us from before birth to be the servant for the kingdom. We are called to be a servant for the kingdom. This passage very particularly talks about Jesus Christ being that servant for us. But I want to push this a little bit, because God has also prepared you to be a servant for the kingdom. Amen. And that happened before birth. And God desires that for all people. We'll see that a little bit further as we look into this passage. God desires that for all people. Now, what does it mean to you? Think for a minute. What does it mean to you that God prepared you before you were even born to be a servant for the kingdom of God? What an incredible role. What an incredible thing. When I think God said, Tim, I am going to trust you to be a servant for my kingdom. And I'm going to prepare you and I'm going to get you ready to be that person that I need as a servant. That changes the way I look at some things that have happened in my life. They haven't all been good, as I'm sure they haven't been for you. But I've learned that sometimes the places that I am wounded the most is the place where I can serve the best. Because I've already walked that path. And I can help someone come along that same path. Twice in my life, I had to be woken by God to come back into and step into what God had prepared for me as a servant. I first came to Christ when I was in college in the early 80s. And at that point in time, I kind of sensed that God was calling me towards the ministry, but it didn't happen the way that I thought it would. And once again, I walked the wrong way. And then when our oldest child was just before he turned one, God kind of woke me up again through some things that happened in my life. And God asked me, you've tried twice in your life to live under your own power. Are you ready to be my servant again? Are you ready to be part of the role that I've called you into? Now, take in mind that when that happened, I had no idea that I was going to end up a pastor. My wife did not marry a pastor. She married someone that was going in the opposite direction at that time. But God said, I called you before birth to be a servant in my kingdom. And I still call you to do that. And I'm here to tell you today that God is calling you to be a servant in the kingdom. Now, that doesn't mean that you follow the same journey and the same path that I've followed. It doesn't mean that you go into vocational ministry and you serve as a pastor or a leader in a church somewhere. God may be calling you to be a servant right where you are at this moment. Right where you are. You may not have to change a jot or tittle about your life. God may say, you're right where I need you to be. And that's where I want you to be a servant for my kingdom. Now, I have to tell you that as I started out in the church in the early 90s, I didn't get the idea right. I didn't get the understanding right. You see, here's what I thought happened. You go and you spend some time with God in quiet, in prayer, with the Bible, and you spend some time with God, and God gives you a list of things that you need to go out and accomplish. Okay? So I spend my time with God, and God says, Tim, here's what I want you to be about. Here's what I want you to do. And I go out and do those things. And then I come back to God with my list, and I say, yep, done them. Now I need a new list. Because I've finished. That's not how God works. I want to tell you that very clearly. That's not how God works. Because that is the perfect example of leading to burnout. You see, it's an exhausting task that God calls us to, and it requires much from us, and it can wear us down. It's an exhausting task to be a servant in the kingdom of God. And if I serve the kingdom of God in the way that I just gave you, that I meet with God and God gives me a list and I run out and I get my list done because I'm a good servant and I get it all done and I run back to God and show God that my list is done and God gives me another list. And do you see that? That's busyness. That's not how God works. And when we try to be a servant of God in our own power, did you notice what I said I was doing? I'm spending time with God to get God's understanding of what needs to be done. Then I'm going out away from God and doing it. And then I'm coming back to get another list, and then I'm going out away from God to do it. That is extremely exhausting, to try to live God's kingdom under my own power. Extremely exhausting. You see, many start out on that path, and they burn out because they do it in their own strength. You see, I'm meeting with God and I'm getting the understanding of what God wants me to be part of and where God wants me to work and where God wants me to participate. And I'm going out to accomplish those things, and I'm coming back and I'm saying, God, see, look, I did them all. But the idea is I'm running out and doing it on my own. And what I want to tell you is that is an incredibly exhausting way to live a spiritual life. Incredibly exhausting. Even Isaiah says in verse 4, listen to what he says. But I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing at all. I have labored in vain. It sounds to me that Isaiah tried to do that same thing. That he tried to take what God wanted him to participate in and be part of, and he tried to do it under his own strength, and he says, it amounted to nothing. And I guess it did, because it was under his own strength. God was asking him, let me get this straight. I want to make sure you understand this point. God will always ask you to do the impossible. Always. God will always ask you to do the impossible. God is a big God, and God is always going to ask you about doing big things. And it's really easy for me to stand there and go, God, that's an impossible big thing, and I can't do it. Did you hear what I said? I can't do it. That's a big impossible thing, God. God is always going to ask you to do the impossible. You know what's exciting? We got a God that loves to do the impossible. And we've got a God that can do the impossible. We've got a God that works in impossible ways to bring a long-haired hippie type 10 years too late, redneck as could be, into the kingdom of God. Now, if you don't think that's me, I'll go find some pictures for you. One of the ladies in the previous church, I knew what was going to happen with it, but I showed her a picture of my long hair when I was at Virginia Tech in the early 80s. Came down to about here, by the way. Beautiful blonde hair, curly. I couldn't keep it straight. It couldn't do anything, so it was like this all the time. It was just a big mess. And I wore a cowboy hat to try to keep it contained. She put the picture in the newsletter of the previous church and said, does anybody know who this fellow is? With no notification that it was me. One of the oldest gentlemen in the church, Hemet Lee Piercy, he's gone to be with the Lord now. Quite a unique individual. He was a POW during World War II. Had a story that was incredible. that he finally shared with me one day. Biggest joker in the world. He was not tainted by spending time at a POW camp. He was the biggest joker. He'd pull your leg in a moment's notice. He cut that picture out when he found out it was me, and he put it on his refrigerator. And everybody that came to his house said, "Hammond Lee, who's this?" Or as many called him, Hambone. That was the nickname he went by. "Hambone, who's this picture?" He said, "It's my pastor." And he was so, so proud of it. For years, that picture hung on his refrigerator. And he gladly showed it to everybody. I found out I had actually had two copies of that picture. And I went to visit with him one day, and I said, "Hambone, I don't want you to have a copy of that picture. I want you to have an original one to hang on your refrigerator." And as far as I know, the day he died, it was still hanging on his refrigerator. You see, God prepares us from way back when. Would I go back and change some of the things in my life that were so bad, that happened, that were hard? There are times I think that, yes, I'd like to. But then there's times that I realize it's those exact things that God used to prepare me to be a servant for his kingdom. Amen. It's those exact things. As hard and difficult as some of those were, as embarrassed as I might be about some of the things that I did and some of the things I participated in, those are the things that God used to prepare me to be the servant that he wants me to be in the kingdom of God. And I'm sharing that with you because no matter what your history is, it doesn't matter. God can use all of those things to prepare you to be the servant that God wants you to be for the kingdom of God. I can't think of any greater role in life than to be a servant to the God who saved me. What an incredible thing. But I've got to get it through my mind. It's not this way that I showed you. It's not come to God, get a list, go do it, come back. Go do it, come back. Go do it, come back. That's not the way God operates. God's already out there in the midst of the world preparing people for your good work that God's going to ask you to do as a servant. Here's what I mean by this. By the Holy Spirit, God's already touching some hearts that God wants you to share with. God's already working in their hearts by the Holy Spirit, nudging them and pushing them ever so gently closer to God. I do not believe that God hits us in the forehead with a 2x4 to get us to wake up. I don't believe that. Now, I believe that it might feel that way, but here's what I'm going to tell you. God's been talking to you the whole time. You finally just heard it. And all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, God spoke to me. And God told me this. God's been telling you that since before your birth, the scripture says. You finally get it. That's what happens. That's what is a eureka moment. By the way, those of you that don't know, eureka is a Greek word, by the way. Do you know what it means? I found it. That's what eureka means. I found it. I finally heard what God had to say to me. It's not that I got hit in the head with a 2x4. It's that I finally heard it. And God's been telling me all along. He's been telling me since before my birth. That's what Isaiah says here, doesn't he? Since before my birth. We come to Christ, And we get this understanding that God wants us to tell other people. Young Christians love to tell other people about the fact that I just received salvation from Jesus Christ. Love to. And the very first place they go is to all the people they know. And all the people that they're used to being around. My roommate, my first 2 years of college, he got to hear the story. Pre-med, who became a dentist. Still, I believe, working in dentistry to this day. He never could understand how the long-haired hippie type could come to Jesus Christ. Nor could he understand how that changed my life. He just didn't get it. I still told him about it. I know he knows. And we spend a number of years talking to the people that we know, and we slowly have talked to all the people that we know, and we kind of slowly stop talking so much about it. You know how I know this? Because when I talk to church folks, they tell me something like this. Pastor, I don't know anybody that doesn't go to church. Except we've got whole neighborhoods of people out there that are at home right now. And you drive past their house and you see their car still parked in their yard. You do know some people that don't go to church. Maybe you don't know them personally. Maybe it's time to get to know them. Maybe it's time to get to talk to them, because look at what God says. It's not just about reaching the people that are like us. It's also about reaching the people that ain't like us. Okay? For you English teachers, I purposely said that wrong. Because I know there might be some English teachers in here, and you don't like that word ain't. Sad story for you. It's in the Bible. It is a word. No, it's in the dictionary. It is a word. You see, the message that God wants us to share is with people that are like us and people that aren't like us. It's about reaching those that are like us. And God says it's also about reaching those that are unlike us. Listen to what God says in verse 6 of this passage. It's too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, your kinfolk, to bring back those of Israel I have kept. It's too small a thing just for that. Too small. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Do you hear what God's saying through Isaiah? It's not just about your kinfolk. It's not just about the folk that look like you, that act like you, that are the same social status, the same class. It's not just about that. It's about also the people that aren't like you. Because God said, it's too small a thing for you just to be my servant to the people that are like you. Too small. Maybe that's when you want to go back to God and say, God, I thought that was a pretty big task. Right? Just to reach the people that are like me, that's a pretty big task, isn't it? But God says, that's too small. Let's do something bigger. Let's do something more. Let's do something outside the box that we like to build as a church. Isn't that what God's saying? By the way, every time I thought I've figured out God and have this nice little box that keeps God contained because I got it figured out, guess where I find God? Outside the box. Every time. Every time. Because God says what you had planned was too small. I can remember one time when I was a deacon in my home church. and a Sunday school teacher for college-age kids. We kind of grabbed a hold of this idea, and we got together one time, and we laid a map of the world out on the floor. And we said, God, you're telling us it's too small a task for us just here. We don't know how you're going to do it, but we want you to use us around the world. Around the world, in other countries. That was our prayer. A couple of months later, one of the guys that was in the Navy was moved to a new duty station in another country. Somebody else got out of the Navy and moved to another part of the United States where they traveled quite often to Southeast Asia. And one by one, everybody that was in our close group that had been there that day to pray moved away from that home church. You see, God answered our prayer. At the moment, we weren't quite so happy about it, though. Because, wait a minute, we're a good group. We're together. We're doing things. We're encouraging one another. We're lifting each other up. Yes, Lord, we want to be used around the world, but leave us here. Isn't that how we talk sometimes? Yes, Lord, I want you to use me, but it's going to be right here, right now, nowhere else. And it's going to be in the ways I choose, Lord. I moved away and became a pastor. I don't think there's anybody left in that group at that church anymore. They're around the world at different places. Are we willing to pray something like that? Are we willing to say, God, you called me to be your servant. And you told me it's not just good enough for folk, but it's also for the rest of the world. Are we willing to be that kind of servant? I know some of you are going to tell me afterwards, well, Pastor, I'm kind of old. I can't go nowhere. I bet God can still use you. There's a lot of kids in this world that need grandparents. And as far as I can tell, to some of you who have been grandparents longer than me, let me know if I got this wrong. But as far as I can tell, you never retire from being a grandparent. So when you tell me, I don't know if the Lord can use me in the kingdom of God, you don't retire from being a grandparent, and there's some kids who need grandparents. It's okay to have an extra set, by the way. I had an extra set growing up. I had three sets of grandparents from two parents. The other set was next door neighbors that were the best grandparents I ever had. Best. They almost never bought me a gift, but Mr. Woody taught me a whole lot of stuff as a grandparent. My mom would get mad at me. You go next door, you'll help Mr. Woody do anything, but I can't get you to do nothing here at this house. And I said, yeah, Mom, when was the last time you changed the oil in the car? Because I'm over there and he's teaching me how to do that. Folks, there's a place for you to serve in the kingdom of God. No matter what your age is, there's a place for you to serve. But you got to do it this way. Remember this back and forth example that I gave you? Getting a list done and running back and saying, Lord, I got it done. You need to allow God to bring you the strength you need for this incredible task. And you've got to let the strength of God live through you to do the impossible task that God's asking you to do. Otherwise, you burn out. During the past 2 years of COVID, a lot of pastors have burned out and have left the ministry. because of the change in the way that ministry was done through COVID. They weren't prepared for it. They didn't know how to do it. All of us were getting together, scratching our heads, trying to figure out a new way to do ministry during COVID. If you don't do it with God's power and God's strength, you will burn out in your Christian life. God's asking you to do an impossible task. You can only do that impossible task with the energy that comes from a God that can do impossible things. And to try to do it in your own power will always be fruitless. Always. Always. You'll burn out. I've come close in ministry a couple of times, and I had to get my head back on straight. It's about God's power working in the world. God goes before me. God works in people's hearts. God just asked me to show up and participate with what God's already doing. Do you hear that? It's not me going out and accomplishing something. It's me co-laboring with God in the midst of what's happening. And God's strength working through me. So I want to leave you with this question. What step can you take to allow God's strength to live through you? What step can you take to allow God's strength to live through you? We're going to continue to talk about this. But I want to give you time to think about it first before I give you an idea, give you suggestions of how to do it. I want to give you a chance to hear what God's saying to you. What step do you need to take to allow God's strength to live through you? What step? Let's pray. Lord, you have really given us an impossible task. You want us to reach this whole world with the message of Jesus Christ. And Lord, that's too big. The truth is, it's too big if we try to do it ourselves. But with the strength of an impossible, a God who does the impossible, it can be done. It's a mountain that can be moved. It's something that can happen if we let your strength live in us. So Lord, give us some ideas. Give us an application of how we can allow your strength to live in us, to guide us, to direct us, to inspire us, to encourage us, to be the servant that you have already prepared us to be. Please, Lord, work in us in the dynamic way that you can so that we can be used around this world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.